Rebellions are built on hope.
And welcome to another episode of Radio Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Alberto Calderon, and thank you for joining us on another Star Wars Saturday. Will we have a co-host today? I don't know. Opti might show up, he might not. That's fine. So we're here having fun, a lot of Star Wars news, episodes, surprise trailers, writers for movies. It's a big episode today. So thanks for everyone for being here. We're going to have some fun talking about Star Wars, a little franchise that we've been following for, so long. But thank you guys for being here. I'm tired. I'll be honest. I'm a little bit tired. Went to sleep late yesterday. Was watching the women's NCAA Final Four. That went till around 11 o'clock at night. Then I was watching one of the new Star Trek Discovery episodes. So it was past midnight by the time I made it home. And I'm old. I need my beauty sleep. I didn't get it, but it was fun. We'll talk about Star Trek Discovery at the end, but today it's all about Star Wars as always. But if you're here, thanks for joining us. If it's your first time, make sure you subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any of the new episodes when they drop. Give us a like, hit that thumbs up button. And if you've been here before, thank you so much for your continued support. And leave us a comment down below. I think I said that already. And if you're listening to our audio podcast when this drops later in the week, also, thank you so much. I'm sure to give us a 5-star rating, reviews, and all that fun stuff. I don't know, on all our social medias, you can see it right there at Radio Rebel Pod. Everywhere, we're almost everywhere. Not Threads, not TikTok, but the other places. You can find us there and connect. We'll chat. It's always fun. All right, I should have turned on the ceiling fan. It's a little bit warm here. Well, it's okay. It's Florida. We'll get used to it. Our friend Dale is out there. Dale at Skywalker Academy. Hello there, Dale. How are you doing? And our friend Alan. Alan Chin. It's been a crazy week. What are you? I just saw all your posts from Disneyland. You're doing Star Tours. You're the Rebel Spy with Cassian Andor. And you're here. So I'm sure it's been a crazy week for you too, Alan. Thanks for joining us today. And everyone else that might be out there, thank you. So it's a pleasure to be with you guys. All right, like I said, there's a lot of stuff to talk about today, so let's go ahead. So if you guys are ready, I'm not ready. Let's talk Star Wars and Star Wars news.
Star Wars news.
And this came out of nowhere. We're just going to start right there with the Tales of the Empire trailer. We were talking about it here last week. Is Asajj Ventress coming back in Tales of the Jedi Season 2? No, we're getting Tales of the Empire, the follow-up, I guess, to the Tales of the Jedi series, or Tales of, I should say. So 6 original shorts all drop in May 4th, this time around focusing on disgraced Jedi, Barriss Offee, and Night Sister Morgan Elsbeth. We saw it there on the trailer. We saw the posters, Thrawn, General Grievous, the Grand Inquisitor, all the other Inquisitors, and of course, Darth Vader at the end. But this came out of left field. No one was waiting for this. No one knew about this. It's like Oti always says, on a random Tuesday or a random Thursday, Star Wars just drops the sickest of trailers out there. I love this. I really enjoy Tales of the Jedi. That first season that we got, it was the last year, whenever it came out, and we were all expecting season 2 to come out. I think season 2 was announced during Star Wars Celebration, which actually was a year ago today. So we were all expecting season 2 to drop soon, and it might come afterwards, later in the year or next year. Who knows? But I love that they're following this new format, this Tales of Star Wars, Tales of. So we got some Jedi first, and we're going to the Empire. Maybe next time we'll do the Resistance or the Rebellion. People are talking about bounty hunters, clones. There's a lot that they can play with. And I also love this format of just 6 shorts. This is kind of the canon version of Star Wars Visions, in where one season doesn't need to match the other. Characters that maybe we haven't seen in a long time, but their stories might be in a state of flux. Let's expand on those for a little bit, and then we'll move on to something new. I love this. I love they can drop a new Tales of every year, and it just keeps the fandom coming back for more. So I love this idea that they came up with, and Tales of the Empire looks great. I'm surprised, I keep saying, I'm surprised that they're doing one with Morgan Elsbeth, but the more I think about it, I think that's the one that interests me the most. I know Barisov is very interesting to see what happened there. But Morgan Elsbeth, we don't know a lot about this character. She just showed up in Ahsoka, no backstory. She's her a magistrate at that point, working for Thrawn. Who the hell is this character? And then, of course, we saw her at the beginning of Ahsoka, and how, in the Ahsoka series, and how important she was to getting Thrawn back and all that stuff, and the other Night Mothers. Unfortunately, she met her end at that point. But how does she get to that part? And I love that the trailer starts with Hot Thrawn. Looks freaking great. They brought back Lois Nicholson, of course, for the voice. All the voice actors came back. Deanna Lee Inosanto doing Morgan Elsbeth. This starts with him. What do you look for from the Empire? Why are you coming to us? And, well, the Separatists destroyed my home, and now I want payback. And Thrawn's like, yeah, someone else to put under my thumb. So love everything I saw from there. The animation looks great, of course. Her fighting with those double sickles or whatever they were. General Grievous is there kicking butt, probably where the destruction of Corvus. So it's going to be great. Very, looks breathtaking. Maybe breathtaking for everyone that just died. But I know the Barisov one is the one that people are really focusing on. They've been asking for this character for years since the Clone Wars. She's the one that bombed the temple. Ahsoka took the fall for it. Every time there's a new Inquisitor, everyone's saying that that's Barisov. Marok was going to be Barisov. Was Barisov the one that saved Grogu? So there's a lot of headcanons and a lot of stories that people have been waiting for this character. So yes, here she is. Here's Barisov being introduced to the Inquisitorius and being part of the Inquisitor kind of bloodline, I guess. Will she follow all the way? We do see her with the whole Inquisitor outfit. We got to the end where this is her new master, and of course it's Darth Vader. Who knows where her story ends? 3 episodes is a lot that can be done with that character. Maybe by the end she leaves Inquisitors and she's trying to do something else with her life. Or maybe we find out that she's an Inquisitor that we've seen already, or maybe season 2 of Ahsoka or something. Star Wars is always moving those pieces, so I don't know where it's going to go, but it was a great surprise to get her. If you've read Rise of the Red Blade, you know that final test that the Grand Inquisitor told her and whoever was the other Inquisitor, one of you is going to die, and the other one will be an Inquisitor. You might get a number, and then you'll be the 12th sister or whatever it is. So very excited for both of those series, little series for Barisov and for Morgan Elsbeth. So yeah, excited for that. Tales of the Empire, again, came out of nowhere. Great trailer, great poster design, great fonts, great music, great everything. Which one are you guys more interested in? The Offrey one, the Morgan Elsbeth? You don't care. You know who doesn't? I care that this guy is here. Our friend, Buck O'Brien. Say, how you doing, Buck? Hola. Espero que todo esté bien por allá, Buck. All right. And yes, it was a big surprise for animation, big animation news. Sorry, Dale. I didn't want to put you on the spot. Dale, he knew about this. Sworn to secrecy. All right. But again, we've been asking, what's the next animated series that's coming after the Bad Batch? And even though these are shorts, will you all be dropped on May 4th, which I'm not mistaken. Let me check real quick. May 4th, I believe, is a Saturday. Yes, May 4th is a Saturday. So we're going to have fun here. Star Wars Day. Just come join us here on The Rebellion. I'll watch all of them before the episode drops, and we can talk about them live. So yeah, if this is the next kind of a little step before the next big animation show drops, it's great. Again, Tales of the Jedi was very informative, very interesting for people that love Yaddle, for example. I'm not a big Yaddle fan. I love her in the books, animation and movies. Okay, we got a lot with Dooku and of course the Ahsoka backstory. So Tales of the Empire, very interested and excited for that one. Yes, good week for Star Wars news, Buck. And it just kept coming. And we'll Just go to the next one. So for you guys out there in the chat, and of course, if you're listening to this later on the replay, let us know in the comments, what other type of Tales of series would you like to see? Would you like to keep going? Tales of the Rebellion, or maybe, I don't know, something with Leia, or people want to see how Rex got to Return of the Jedi, which I'm not too excited about. Tales of the Resistance, give me something with Poe and Finn, or Shara Bay, give me the Rebellion with Shara Bay and Poe's parents, or do kind of the obvious one with Tales of the Bounty Hunters or stuff like that. Just let us know what else you would like to see. We'll check on those in a minute. And talking about good news for book readers, The Acolyte, we keep getting more, and we got some new Acolyte image along with some little tidbits. So this week, Empire Magazine and Entertainment Weekly both released new images and brief snippets from the upcoming TV show. Daphne Keene mentioned, she revealed that Jedi Padawan, the half-human and half-feeling character, Jackie, is a very dedicated Padawan to Master Saul and will follow everything he said to a T. I love this, and I'll tell you why. I know sometimes people see Jedi as too, like, they don't toe the line between what's good and evil, breaking the law. The Jedi very focused. I like that. I like that in my Jedi for the most part, especially for Padawans. We already have Anakin and some other Padawans that go on their own. Kenobi was a little bit. But I love that we have here, Jackie is very dedicated to whatever Master Saul tells her, and she's going to follow his guiding light, and whatever he asks of her, she's going to go do it. And that's going to be good or bad. I think she mentions that something might not work. So, but I like to see that Padawans have this great appreciation for their master. So I'm really excited for her character. She's also said that she has a lot of great lightsaber work, which is interesting because in one of the previous news story that we talked a few weeks ago, Leslie Headland had said that the Jedi don't always use their lightsabers in this era because there's really no one to fight. So there's more of a hand-to-hand combat. Ooh, excuse me, got some burps. And that's something we're going to be talking in a couple of minutes. It's this Forge food that's also going to be out there. But yeah, give me more Daphne Keene. As she said, she wanted to see, what is it, X-23 with a lightsaber, and that's what we're going to get. So then on another interview, I think this one was with Entertainment Weekly, I don't know, or with Empire, one of them. So again, showrunner Leslie Headland said that the title of The Acolyte is a position that someone will fulfill or step into. She went on to say that she got the title from the Expanded Universe, where the Acolyte was under the apprentice to the Sith Master. And again, I hate giving props to OT, but he might be, I think I was really caught off guard when he told me his kind of theory or something he might love to see. And I'm right there. I hope that it happens, that this Acolyte is someone that wants to get the attention of the Sith, or someone that's under the apprentice of the master, where the apprentice and an acolyte underneath. Is that Amanda Lastenberg's character? Is it someone else? It might be, now that we're seeing this acolyte, where she got the title from the EU, is this person underneath the apprentice? Yes, so again, if you had Palpatine or Darth Sidious, Dooku, and then underneath them was Asajj Ventress at one point, Darth Maul, and those were kind of the acolytes, if you want to put in that sense to make it make sense. So yeah, who's going to be? Yes, give me that. And that's the person with the lightsaber that we see in the trailer. So yay. And then of course we saw the picture there, new photo of Carrie Ann Moss as Jedi Master in Dara, which might be my favorite one right now. Leslie Headland also revealed that she wanted to see Trinity with a lightsaber and doing some force foo. And again, if you saw the trailer, all those blocks, all those force pushes that we see Indara doing, and also Master Saul, one of the other scenes, yes, I want to see that. I want to see Jedi using the force to fight. If you read the book, especially, there's a lot in the High Republic of how the Jedi don't always use the lightsabers, and they're using the force to fight, to help people as they're falling off from ships, Bernestra, and a bunch of them. So yeah, give me that. I love seeing all my lightsaber fights, but if there's really no one out there using lightsabers, there's no droids, let's use the Force. Let's use some of those abilities and those reflexes to see how the Jedi can handle those handle themselves in a hand-to-hand combat. So very excited for those. Acolyte, dude, it's, what, 2 months away, I think, like early June, June 4th or something. Something that's even further away from the High Republic era, like 25,000 years. And actually, before I go there, sorry, I'm jumping the gun. All right, so Alan, it's saying, forceful Trinity, she's at the height of her craft. Love that martial arts has been featured in Star Wars. Yep, right there with you, Alan. All right, so 25,000 years into the past. It's the beginning of the Jedi that we're calling the... Actually, I should say something because this is Star Wars movie news. We're going to Star Wars movie.
Star Wars movie news.
There we go. Star Wars movie news. I forgot about my new movie news intro. Just revealed yesterday is that Andor writer, per the Hollywood Reporter, Andor and House of Cards writer Bo Williman has paired up with James Mangold to co-write the movie that will focus on the beginnings of the Force, of the Jedi. Right now, we cannot call it Dawn of the Jedi. That's what it's been out there. Of course, there's no official title, but talk about news coming out of nowhere and news that I'm going to say 99.9% of people are extremely excited for. I haven't seen anyone be down on this. The writer of the Narkina 5 arc of Andor, hailed by a lot of Star Wars fans, that's one of the greatest written Star Wars media of all time, is going to write a movie dedicated to the beginnings of the Force and the first Jedi. What else can we ask for as Star Wars fans? For myself, which my favorite part of Star Wars is the mystical Force side of Star Wars. So I was extremely excited for this movie already. And you bring such a huge talent like Bo Williman to this part of Star Wars with James Mangold directing, also helping to write. Dude, I don't remember the name of the movie. I saw it in an article yesterday. James Mangold is working on, it's in production now. And after that, he'll dedicate more time to this Dawn of the Jedi movie. Dude, I'm really, really excited for this. I don't want to get my hopes up and say this is going to be in the Andor kind of level in terms of writing and all that stuff. But you bring someone with that talent, it's because you believe in this movie and you want to put as much of it, as much as you can into it. So it's Kathleen Kennedy saying, I know she gets a lot of flack for how Rise of Skywalker went, when a lot of people think, will put blame on her and some of the other creators behind it, saying, oh, they saw what people didn't like about The Last Jedi, went to Reddit and all the posts, and then that's what they decided to do for Rise of Skywalker. I love that here she's gone from everybody loved Andor. Andor got nominated for Emmys. We have a great writing team. Let's bring them to the movie side, and let's give them a movie that has really nothing to do with anything we know in Star Wars, because this is so far in the past. And let's give that care and dedication to this movie. Yes, 100%. I love that the Mando and Grogu movie is coming out, so I'm going to mention it in a few minutes. It got an official date. I think the Rey one is the one that I want to see the most, like, right now. But I love that also giving this other one that has no baggage, basically. You can do whatever you want with that movie, but giving it the care that it needs. A-star director, A-star writer. Yes, now let's get the story going and get the cast. Yes, Bo Williman, come on. And of course, I mean, you can now make the connection that can bring the Snoke and connect it to Kino Loy and then to Snoke and just make that connection with all of it. All right, Alan, Star Tours, yeah, you were in Star Tours. Star Tours should have gone to an Arkina fight, then you wouldn't get out. You'll still be there trying to swim out of whatever Disney attraction has water over there. Bucky's is adding, Bo is probably the most woke writer in Star Wars, and the fandom manner is just gonna eat up his work, not realizing he is against them. I mean, fandom manners doesn't know anything, right? They're just, the first thing they'll see, they'll just jump on it to say, yeah, they're on our side, and then, no, they are not. It's like George Lucas, right? 2 weeks ago, they thought George Lucas was taking back Star Wars. Now he sided with Disney and Bob Iger, and now they threw him under the bus. So, yeah, give me Bo Williman. All right, so I don't have any graphics for this. These are kind of things that we knew already or were very kind of on the line of being official. We finally got official date for The Mandalorian and Grogu, which is now the official title for the movie. So Disney updated their upcoming movie release dates, and it has been confirmed that the next Star Wars movie, or the next new Star Wars movie, because we're getting The Phantom Menace back in theater and the whole nine movies. So the next one is going to be, will hit the big screen on May 22nd, 2026, which I believe is a date we knew already. I think it was like an untitled Star Wars movie for that date. A lot of us believe it was going to be Mando. They had said The Mandalorian movie was going to be the first one to kind of hit the movie theaters. So now we got an official release date. And I'm getting excited for this movie. Again, I want to see a Star Wars movie on the big screen, a new one. I understand some people had some ups and downs with season 3 of The Mandalorian, which is okay. I did enjoy. There was a lot of it that I did enjoy. But I think seeing that on the big screen, seeing Din Djarin, seeing Baby Grogu, Din Grogu, I should say, just kind of walking around. Hopefully this, maybe a couple of years have passed. He can move a little bit more and not just get thrown whenever they need him to do a flip. But and hearing the theme on the big screen with the surround sound is going to be awesome. So you kind of can't wait for this 2 years. So 2 years from now, new Star Wars movie is going to be out. And then for all you video game fans, finally, Star Wars Outlaws, we're getting a story trailer on Monday? No, sorry, Tuesday. So Ubisoft will unveil the story trailer for the upcoming Star Wars video game, Star Wars Outlaws, on Tuesday, April 9th. The action adventure game is set between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and it follows Scoundrel Kay Vess and her companion Nix, that little axolotl dog, as they try to survive the crime syndicates in Star Wars in these time periods between Empire and Return of the Jedi. This might be the game that gets me back into Star Wars gaming. I might get this one. I might not pay $90 or whatever it costs when it comes out. I might wait a little bit. But I think I'm going to get Star Wars Outlaws. I'm going to be out. I'm on a field trip with my son, so I won't be able to see the trailer till I get back. But give us more. This looked great. The gameplay looked great. So Star Wars Outlaws, are you guys going to get that? All right, so that does it for Star Wars news. Again, a lot, at least the main ones. There were probably a couple more that drop. And then next week, I think on Tuesday, is it Tuesday? Don't tell me, so I'm remembering John Jackson Miller's, whatever the name of that, something Jedi. Oh, The Living Force. Sorry, The Living Force comes out on Tuesday. So again, I already have a spoiler review on our website. I'll tweet that out again on Tuesday when it comes out, and I'm gonna start sending some emails, see if we can get a guest soon. All right, so that does it for Star Wars news, and now we jump to what a lot of you guys want to talk about, and it keeps getting better and better, is Star Wars on TV. Star Wars on TV, The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 10, Identity Crisis, and Episode 11, Point of No Return. I mentioned a couple of weeks back, talking to Oti about The Bad Batch, is not comparing it to Andor in that sense. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever. But like every week when it came to Andor was, can this show get better? And every week after week it was, yes, yes, it keeps hitting on all cylinders. It's not falling. There's not a drop. The Bad Batch Season 3 seems to be in a very similar roller coaster. It's just going up. Even the last two episodes, which, like we mentioned, was The Calm Before the Storm, these stories, man, are just kicking ass. And for people that are concerned And I understand concern about the Acolyte being that 30 to 35 minute range per episode. This first episode of the two-parter we got on Wednesday, Identity Crisis, after you take out the intro and you take out the credits, it was barely 22 minutes. And they were able to fit in 22 minutes a story like Identity Crisis. If you give, again, the care that these stories and this character needs to a live-action show like The Acolyte, then 30 to 35 minutes, you can still get a great episode, a great emotional arc. So in that sense, I'm holding out hope that the writing team is behind it. It's at this level. And also, if you're doing a Star Wars movie, a Star Wars animated show, a Star Wars live-action show, you need to get this writing team, Jennifer Corbett, Brandon Rao, everyone else that works on, either on your writing staff, on your creative department. I don't know. Bring these people into more Star Wars storytelling because they're just knocking it out of the park. I know we still have, I think, 4 more episodes. It's going to be very difficult for them to drop the ball at this point. But yeah, get them in your writing team. Get them in your whatever Pablo Hidalgo and all those people work. Get them there if they're not already there. Get them to help you write your Star Wars stories because they know what they're doing. So yeah, let's go. Identity Crisis. I know for a lot of people, this was a difficult episode to watch. I understand why. I'm one here that I've said a lot of times since I became a parent, any movies or TV show that I see where it's that parental connection, anything happening to kids or whatever, gets me very emotional. So I understand why a lot of people are saying that they can't rewatch this episode. It was made them sick and all that. I was fine. I didn't go to that point because, I mean, it's the Empire. We know they've been hunting for sensitive children. We knew the Emperor was collecting holocrons that had data on the kids that the Jedi thought were for sensitive, so they could go either kill them or get them to turn into the dark side. So we knew this was what the Empire was doing. It's a lot different seeing it happening in person, which I think is what happened to Emery Carr, which we're going to talk in a minute. I have no sympathy for Emery Carr. I know a lot of people do. But basically, we knew from before that bounty hunters were trying to get people with high M counts. Like Hemlock says, there's not a lot of adults at the moment with high M count because most of them have been killed already. So you have Cad Bane out there just hunting children, kidnapping children that are force sensitive to bring to the Empire, to bring to Mount Tantis. And we saw that firsthand, which again, it's difficult to see. It's an animated show. And I know we talk about here constantly how animation is not just for children, but at the same time, Star Wars is not all of Star Wars for an adult audience. A lot of it's for a younger audience. So yeah, it's can be a difficult visual. But again, this writing team, this creative team did a great job in showing all of that. We got Hemlock looking at some specimen with his data pad. It was a clone there, or a trooper, I should say. I don't know if it was a clone armor, a trooper armor. Then at the end, we get CX-2 and all that, and we get to all that. But he's looking at a specimen, maybe the next CX-3 or CX-4, because by the end of the episode, we get that, talking to CX-2, the next one is not ready. The next operative is not ready. Can CX-2 go find information on the Bad Batch and Omega? Who is it? Who is that new operative that he's waiting for? Is that Tech? I got my clone paint and my clown makeup and my red nose ready to go for whenever Tech doesn't show up. I'm still holding out hope. Still holding out hope that Tech will show up at some point. But it has to be soon because the series is coming close to an end. So I don't know. We'll see. So Emery Carr shows up. She goes to Hemlock, asking for a promotion. You put Nala Say behind bars. As always, production has stalled, so we need to move forward. You incarcerated our chief scientist, so I'm here. I've been by your side for so long. I'm ready. I can prove my words. give me a promotion. And I said, yeah, okay, you don't even have to interview or anything. You're my new lead scientist. So now you're getting access to probably Necromancer and the specimens, it's sub level, blah, blah, blah. What was it? So they're keeping specimens in a sub level, which I think are the clones that Hemlock was looking at before, or the troopers. And then, of course, the vault, which we find out is where they're keeping all the force sensitive children. And that reminded me of Stranger Things when we see this last season when we had 11 and the other 10 kids, I guess, with all their special powers in this little house, prison, whatever you want to call it. As soon as those doors open, you saw those kids in the middle. It just reminded me of 11 and Stranger Things. And we know that didn't end in a positive note for a lot of them, or most of them. And this might go the same way. So Emery Carr sees this. He starts freaking out. I mean, I love that we got to see that the Empire is literally doing what people blame the Jedi for doing. People blame the Jedi just kidnapping children. No, the Empire is kidnapping children that are force sensitive, and now at least for Project Necromancers to take their midichlorians, their M-counts. So they suck. Freaking Empire sucks. And Hemlock, I know why everyone hates him, and we all hate him. But also we got confirmation, I think, that Omega is not force sensitive, or at least doesn't seem to be. Because Hemlock tells Emery Carr, hey, so Project Necromancer, we need to extract the blood with midichlorians from these form sensitive children. And Omega is the only one whose blood can then replicate the midichlorians, because we can't do it from the host. They can't just take midichlorians out from the force sensitive kids and build more midichlorians. They have to give it to a person that is susceptible to that transfer, and that's Omega. So it's what we've been saying since episode 1 and 2. It's not that Omega is force sensitive, it's that she's the only one that's able at the moment to get that transfer, that blood transfusion basically, and then replicate the midichlorians. So yay, there we go. I should have said, I love, because last time we were talking about how Asajj Ventress had to go through all these 3 tests to see if Omega was force sensitive. She didn't have the little blood packet or blood test to test Omega's sugar level. And that's the first thing that Cad Bane does when they get the little rabbit creature from Solo that we see another species here. Gets Toto, get the kit. Let's just test the blood real quick. So I'm glad that we got to see that right there. Yeah, Alan, Omega's blood is suitable binder for a transfer of M count. Yes. All right, before we go, I'm going to take a little bit, sip on my water. My throat's parched already. I'm going to highlight something. First, thanks for being here. Clipsfields Melbourne, if you're joining us from Melbourne, I salute you and thanks for being here. We're talking about Barry's. You said you prefer the Legends version of Barry's death. It makes sense for Revenge of the Sith and Order 66 deleted scene and later adapted to the comics. But as of now, Tales of the Empire can give us some answers of what happened to Barry's during Rise of the Empire. Very true. That's gonna be great. And then you also add in that I'm guessing next episode is Turbo Tank Mission for the Bad Batch. Yes. I think you're right. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get to episode 11, Point of No Return in a couple of minutes. But yeah, it has to be that one. I think. So all the kids, there's like 3 or 4 kids there. I knew that Green Alien was going to be trouble as soon as we saw him try to steal the data pad. They just want to go home. And that's when everyone's hearts break, right? They told us we could go home. Where's Nala Sage? She was finding out when I could go home. And then when can I see my friend? Oh, you'll see him tomorrow. No, he'll be there for 2 or 3 days. Oh, you lied to me. You're a liar. So we're starting to get all these things. Poor kids. I just want to go home. Emery Carr is feeling bad. She brings Omega's little hey Lula to give to her. So we'll see where that goes. Tarkin makes an appearance. It's like, Hemlock, Tarkin's calling you. That's never good. And Tolkien's going to talk. It's like, dude, like every, if you've been a manager, a supervisor, like middle management, and then you have your higher ups, every time you ask for something, it's, why are you asking for so much money? You got to tell me why you need money, because we don't have the budget for that. And that's what Tolkien is doing. Like, I'm looking at my spreadsheets and you're asking for too many resources. And Hemlock's like, this is top secret. It's for the emperor. Just give me, give it to me and forget about it. And Tolkien's like, if this doesn't work, it doesn't bode well for you. So you better make sure that it works. And this goes back to that episode when the emperor showed up. And he told Hemlock, yeah, whatever you want, you'll get it, but it better work. And I told Ati, it's not going to work. And I think, and I'll double down, that either the Emperor or Vader are going to be the one that kill Hemlock by the end. I think things are going to blow up in his face, and he's going to get forcey choke or something like that. I know people want Omega or Carr or someone else to kill Hemlock. I think he's going to be a victim of the Empire's administrative ladder. It won't be Tolkien, it'll be Vader. I'm betting we'll see Vader. Hemlock, you are no use to us anymore. Then we have, like I mentioned, the return of CX-2. Hemlock's like, you gotta go find them. I need you to bring Omega back. I need to make this work. The other operatives are not ready. Wink, wink, is that Tech, please come back. And then we go from there. He said, yeah, I talked to the Trandoshan. I forgot her name, but he said, I talked to the Trandoshan. They talked to a pirate, so I'm going to go find her. That's where we start the next episode, Point of No Return. But before we go to that, Emery Carr, I've seen a lot of people feel bad for Emery Carr, saying that she's going to turn to a new leaf. I don't care about Emery Carr. She's one of those people that does evil things. And she's like, as long as I don't see the end result, I do everything else that goes into it. And then when she sees the kids, she's like, oh no, are we the baddies? I didn't know that keeping Omega against her will, taking all her toys, helping put Nalase in a prison, working in a mysterious secret base with the Empire. I didn't know we were the bad guys. I'm helping turn the clones into these weird machines or droids, and the clone and the stormtroopers making the transition. There's a line I won't cross. Like, you're part of the bad guys. I don't feel bad for you. I'm sure they'll make her kind of change mind and help the kids at the end. When she goes to Nala, say, like, well, I need information of Project Necromancer. Did you know there were kids kind of blaming Nala? Said she's like, I'm sorry. I had to do what I could for Omega. But what about the other? And look who's here. Where the hell are you?
Forget about I'm walking my dog. I took a break from packing, and I'm walking my dog. I have like 3 minutes.
So real quick, in your 3 minutes, Oti, and your dog, just thoughts on these last two episodes of The Bad Batch. Kind of, we're finishing up episode 10, talking about Emery Carr, but just overall thoughts before you need to leave.
They were pretty good. I don't know which one I liked most, because the second one had like all the action-packed moments, and the first one, and I think, had like all the answers of what's going on and what is Emery doing, yeah, and what is Project Necromancer. So yeah, they were both pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I feel so bad for everyone watching right now. For myself, you're back there, beautiful scenery, the palm trees, blue skies, and I'm stuck here in a room sweating without the sun or anything.
Florida weather, baby. The only good thing about this place.
Don't remind me. It's a good day today.
Yeah.
So
I just wanted to mention that my favorite Star Wars thing was the freaking Tales of the Empire episode. I think you'll probably already talked about it.
Yeah, like, go ahead. Go.
When that logo changed from Tales of the Jedi to Tales of the Empire, like, my jaw dropped, because I haven't seen like anyone talked about it. So I was just thinking it was a Tales of the Jedi trailer. Yeah. So it looks pretty sick.
It looks great. It was a great surprise. I mentioned, like you said, on a random Thursday, Star Wars just dropped it with no preamble. I saw it because I was out doing stuff at work. I saw it through an email. I got an email, StarWars.com, watch the brand new trailer. And that's where subject ended. I'm like, oh, it's going to be about the Acolyte or maybe Bad Batch. And when I click on it, Tales of the Empire, I thought it was a video game at first. And when I saw four shorts dropping on May 4th, I'm like, wait, what? And
Six shorts.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this?
I'm going to tell you a quick story. So my company did layoffs this week. I was safe, but my coworkers weren't. So I watched the trailer, was super excited, and like suddenly one of my assistants writes through Teams like, hey, can you talk for a minute? I was like, yeah, sure. So I like killed my mood because she got fired.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, other than that, like that trailer kept me happy for the rest of the week.
Yeah, hey, man, she goes, hey, can you talk for a minute? Are you okay? I'm ready to talk Empire.
She's dealing with the fact that she just lost her job, and I'm here like, oh my God, Star Wars.
the reality of life. Well, between the Barriss Obhi and Morgan Elsbeth stories, which one are you more kind of leaning towards?
I think Barriss, because I already saw a lot of people being like, I can't believe they're reducing her story to be just an Inquisitor. I'm pretty sure that's not what it's going to be.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I think they're going to do this dueling thing where we're going to see Morgan go through tragedy and go like darker.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see Barriss go through tragedy, but somehow find a way to come out of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I wish we see. I really hope she just not. I think we're going to get like a Reva kind of story.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't mention that when I talked about it, that maybe she's an Inquisitor that we've seen already, but most likely there's going to be a turn at some point that she finds a way to get away from it, especially when this is your new master and it's Darth Vader. It's not going to end there. There's going to be something more.
I hope they fight. or is Vader, because Vader at this point is trying to kill Anakin. So is he going to be like, oh, that's Barriss?
It would be interesting, right? Because in all the video games, Vader's getting his ass kicked. What if he gets his ass kicked on animation? We'll see people lose their minds. But... Yeah.
And the other thing I want to mention, the Doctor Who trailer and the titles. Oh,
yeah.
Looks so good.
I had that for the end. It's, I don't know, 8 titles. I love that we have... Most of them are written by RTD, Russell T. Davies, but we have Kate Herron coming straight from Loki to write one of them. So very interesting. But yeah, trailer was great. Gave me everything I wanted. And then those titles. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, I got to go. But it was nice to drop by.
No, great. Great surprise. Just like everything this week.
I'm loving Bad Batch. I just want to say that. Like, it was so, so good.
No, they're just sitting every week. Every week is like better.
When everyone started hyping, I was like, oh, is it going to be like that good? And like while the second episode was like starting, I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. But nah, it was pretty good. I'm dying to see what's going to happen because I have no idea how they're going to save Omega.
All right, so Buck is saying good to see you, LT. And as always, we'll see you.
Good to see you, Buck.
It is for 5 minutes. And there's that.
She's terrified of everything. Bye, guys.
All right. And he's still there.
That's right. I don't know how to leave.
Blue skies. I'll kick you. There you go. He's out. Thanks to our co-host, Ate. He showed up 40 minutes into it, but always fun. Yeah. It's a puppy. Every time we see a puppy, I went to the UF Vet School open house this morning. Bloodhounds over there. A lot of cool stuff. All right, so that kind of brings an end to our first talk of episode 10, Identity Crisis. And then we went to episode 11, Point of No Return. Like Oti mentioned, this was the action-packed episode. The Empire made it to Pabu. The invasion of Pabu is happening. Like Alan just said, the pre-invasion of Pabu is where Oti was. But we've been talking about it. We've been dreading Pabu getting invaded. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Thank God. But CX2, whatever shadow clone, whatever you want to call them, got the info from Fee's ship, was able to infiltrate it, get the information where she's been visiting, told the Empire, let's go, 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 let's get them. Very heartfelt scene between Omega and the mayor's daughter or granddaughter, I can't remember her name, handing Tech's goggles. And this is where my Tech is alive kind of hat fell to the ground to, oof, is this a premonition that he'll be back? But then we got the Star Wars data bank kind of saying, yeah, this text is dead, basically. I'm still 50-50. I'm still believing that he'll show up, but a very emotional scene, like at least a part of us will still be here. Even though we have to leave to keep everyone safe, at least a part of us will still be here and you can remember us. And of course, when we visit. So great scene. The Pabuans, I don't know what you call the people that live on Pabu, they got to put a sign on that cave that says no parking because Ventress parked there, CX2 parked in the same cave. You need to nail down a sign, no Starship parking, or start charging for it. 35 credits an hour if you want to park here and cause trouble. Just get it out of there. Love seeing the Star Destroyers over Pabu. Again, a great visual. So got all the invasion forces and the fight starts. And it's, we need to keep Omega safe. We need to find a way out of here. They destroy the Havoc Marauder, RIP. Just went through the same fate as the Razor Crest and every new ship in Star Wars destroyed. So they're trying to get a transport. Hunter just hanging like Tom Cruise out of a moving cruiser, moving ship. I love like CX2 just killed the other trooper just to try to get Hunter down. I said, like, I don't care. I'm just going to kill this guy and bring the whole ship down. But it all comes to Omega, right? And this is a decision. Did you love it? Did when you too happy about it? I'll be honest. I wasn't extremely happy with her decision of saying, oh, I need to be captured. I need to give myself up to save everyone. Just because we've seen this before in 20,000 movies, like, oh, I'll give myself up to the bad guy just to save the place I'm in. I mean, it just, I don't know, felt a little cliche. But what I did love, and it's not because she's a little kid or she can make her own decision, that's not it. But I love that she had a plan. So I'm going to get myself caught to try to help everyone. You can track me. I have my little tracker, and Cross is like, dude, they're going to take that away from you as soon as you get gone, and then just shoot another tracker on the ship when we're leaving. So at least she had a plan moving forward. It wasn't just, yeah, I'm going to get kidnapped again or let them take me, and then that's it. She had a plan because, just forget it. There's a bigger mission. Just a part of it, there's a bigger mission of saving all the clones and everyone that's on Mount Tantis. We don't know how to get there. Find a way to find me. So I did in like that part. Again, they had a plan. Although Crosshair, again, with his shaky hands, that he needs some Viagra or something because that shot didn't come close. Like, this is the ship and this is it. No elevation. Sorry, children. Like, nothing. It's like, not even close. Hunter's in the water. Batcher had run off to attack someone, so he made a meet up with Hunter when Hunter comes out of the water. And then I'm excited, Alan said. I'm excited for Omega to do the Kino Loy on Tantus. I can't swim. Dude, if Omega says she can't swim, we're all going to just form a chain from here to Mount Tantus just to get her. You're saving the Omega. You're going to make it out. I'm sure she swims. She fell into those Pabu waters a couple of times. Maybe a record. Everyone over there. Maybe she can find Elzar Man, not Elzar, Stellan Geos down there. All right, peace, Stellan. Please come back to us. One way out. There is just one way out. Kill everyone there. Just destroy everything. Maybe that's what you meant, Alan. So my question for you guys, this is my headcanon, what I hope happened, is that Hunter made it to the ship. Like, we saw Hunter get out of the water, met up with Batcher, close to the cave, I think, before we see CX2 and his ship leave that area. So I'm really hoping, and then we didn't see Hunter at the end kind of talking to Crosshair, where, again, I forgot Wrecker got blown up next to, forgot the name of the ship, the Havoc Marauder. So he's passed out. He's almost in a coma. He's starting to wake him up. So Hunter, when he comes out of the water, we don't see him again. I'm really hoping that Hunter made it to the ship, and then that's how they can track them. Like, track Hunter to Mount Tantis. And I think the tank mission that you mentioned, Clipsil's Melbourne, I think that tank mission can be, I'm hoping. Maybe that's on Mount Tantis, because it is going through a mountain. Maybe it's not. I just hope. Maybe it's that same planet, and they're just still in a big tank. But we still need to get Echo, Rex, where are they? I should have, let me see if I can find them real quick. Sorry that I'm doing this right here. Trying to find what's the next episode. Title, season 3. Sorry, just doing stuff as we go through. But yeah, so far, so good. I think we only, like I mentioned, only have 4 more episodes to go. Juggernaut is next time. That kind of makes sense for the big tank that they're taking. So Juggernaut is next week. Into the Breach, Flash Strike, and the Cavalry has arrived. So maybe they don't get to Mount Tantus next week in Juggernaut, but Into the Breach kind of sounds like they might be getting their Flash Strike the same. And of course, the Cavalry arrived. So again, Bad Batch Season 3 has been one of the strongest animated seasons and just series seasons in general, not just animation, but also live action from episode 1 to now episode 11. Maybe there's 2 episodes that have been okay, nothing bad. So it's been either okay or great. And everything has been in this prison kind of scenarios running from the Empire. It's just been phenomenal to watch. And this is coming from someone that wasn't the biggest fan of season 1 or season 2, or these characters in general. I'm really enjoying myself watching season 3 of The Bad Batch. Only 4 episodes. It's been quick. It's gone extremely quick, getting 3 episodes that first week, 2 episodes about 2 weeks ago, and then 2 episodes now. It's been going extremely quick. But of course, we have The Acolyte coming up, Tales of the Empire, May 4th. So it's a lot of Star Wars coming up. So yeah, loving everything we're getting with The Bad Batch. These last 2 episodes were great. Juggernaut next week. What will happen? I don't know. I'm still hoping, here I am with my hoping hands, that it ends on a positive note for the batch. I don't want to see anyone else die. I hope they don't. Even if Tech doesn't come back, please give these other guys a happy ending or a positive ending. Don't make them suffer anymore. They're gonna, now that the Empire has Omega, that stakes enough. Pabu just got burned down. That stakes enough. We don't need to keep killing characters just to, oh, the stakes need to be raised. No, there's enough stakes right now. So we'll see. 2 more episodes. Whew. All right. So that does it for our talk of Star Wars for today and The Bad Batch and everything. And now we're going to jump real quick to that part of the show where we talk about something else that's not Star Wars in a world between fandoms. Ooh, excuse me. So yeah, like Oti mentioned when he showed up, it's Doctor Who. That Doctor Who trailer that dropped, again, out of nowhere, they kind of said, yeah, new trailer dropping tomorrow. I think they said that on a Sunday, drop on Monday, I believe. Give me the loving! You gotta love Shuji Gawa in this as this character. I just rewatched Trench on Ruby Road. Couple of days ago, he was great there. Great introduction to the character, great introduction to Ruby also. So I'm extremely excited for his series. This is going to be the first time that I get to watch a Doctor Who season as it's going. I've got into it late, even though I'll get there, Buck. I'll get to that in a minute, to your comment. I just forgot what I was saying. I gotta stop. I'll go. So Buck, just gonna let the happy ending jokes go, not the right audience. You're right, not the right audience for the happy endings. But who knows, maybe by the end of the show, that's gonna be them. Love the title reveals on Twitter for Doctor Who. Love them, the little card with the titles, a little music there to give you a little hint of what's gonna happen. And we got Rose Noble shows up when he comes out of the TARDIS in UNIT. Give me the loving! Rose Noble is there, so I'm glad that family is still going to show up. It's what you want to see from a Doctor Who trailer. A Doctor Who show, there's a bunch of fun scenes. The ones with these space babies. What's it going to do with the goblins that were stealing babies? Who knows? The Bridgerton things are so Bridgerton. We have, I forgot his name, plays in Frozen and in the king in Hamilton. Forgot his name. He's here. He looks great. It's going to be that great back and forth between him and the doctor. It's going to be great. And then we got a bunch of emotional scenes with Ruby's mom. Are you going to keep her safe? I promise. I'll keep her safe. That's foreshadowing 101 right there. And I will shatter this little, silly little battlefield into dust in a heartbeat, into dust. What makes the doctor, thanks, Buck, Jonathan Groff. He's great in everything he does. Everything, I mean, Mindhunters. He's freaking great in Mindhunters. And now he's here also. So, yeah. I love when the doc, what's going to happen for the doctor, especially this doctor, we don't know too much about, we don't know anything about this doctor to get to that point, to that angriness and that bitterness that I'm going to shatter this little battlefield into dust right now. It's whatever you're doing, you don't stop it. There seems to be this big arc, right? He tells, this is what we're trying to stop. All life extinguished. So what's this big overarching arc or story in these 8 episodes? Great job with the reveal and then the 8 episode titles and the writers. And you're right, Buck, we'll get to yours. That season 9 is gonna be Space Babies. The second one is The Devil's Cord, Boom, 73 Yards, Dot and Bubble, Rogue, The Legend of Ruby Sunday, and Empire of Death. You're right, Buck, Empire of Death does sound ominous. All of them are written by Russell T. Davies, except Boom, was written by Stephen Moffat. You know, everything he's done for Doctor Who. And then Rogue, which I believe is that kind of Bridgerton episode, written by Kate Herron and Brioni Redman. And then The Devil's Chord is that Beatles 60s episode, is what people are saying. So Dot and Bubble gets my attention. Because Doctor Who fans said or something, had a conversation with Russell T. Davies, told them how much they love Wild Blue Yonder, and he said, just keep an eye out for Dot and Bubble. And again, Wild Blue Yonder is one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes of all time. So this got me very excited. The Legend of Ruby Sunday, because we already know that, unfortunately, Ruby's only going to be there for one season. So what's going to be? Is this where she finds out where she came from, with her mother, why she was dropping the church? And Empire of Death, come on, just by titles, it's going to be something. Doctor Who, man, that's taking a lot of my fandom brain at the moment. And like I said before, I keep Doctor Who separate from my other fandoms. Like, I don't follow people that talk a lot about Doctor Who, just with you guys and whoever I follow already on Star Wars as a Doctor Who fan. I don't go down the rabbit holes. I don't care if people love it, if they think it's woke, and you've never watched Doctor Who, I guess. It's just my little bubble. I just want to deal, watch it, love it, and move on. And that's same thing for Star Trek Discovery. The final season just came out this week. 2 episodes drop. I just finished the last one last night, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Not my favorite Star Trek series, but I really enjoy Discovery. The characters are really grown up on me. Michael Burnham, as a captain, took me a while to get behind it, but she's great. Her relationship with Saru, which I think is my favorite character, has been such a, talk about an arc and a relationship build up in 5 seasons between 2 characters, and where Saru is now. But it's a very cool... I had the word just left me. What this season is going to lead up to, it connects to an episode of The Next Generation I didn't remember, of course, about the beginning of life and who created life and our meaning. So it's great. It's a very great story to kind of push this final season forward. So very interested and excited to see where this show is going to go. I love all my Star Trek shows. And Discovery, 5 seasons. Can't wait to see where this goes. I think next, talking now about all their fandom, I think next week is the Fallout series on Amazon Prime, I think, comes out next week. Then May 4th, we get Tales of the Empire. June 4th, June 4th, I believe, is The Acolyte. June 16th is House of the Dragon. And then rumors are that maybe the Rings of Power season 2, I'm thinking maybe around September. And then if we get Skeleton Crew by the end of the year and whatever else comes in between, it's like, dude, 2024, so many great shows out there just in this fandom space. Outside of Fandom, I'm Kid Sane. If you have Apple TV, go watch Manhunt. Love that show. Tobias Menzies, who he was in Game of Thrones, played one of the Tullys. Stanton, the war secretary, hunting John Wilkes Booth. Great show, great suspenseful thriller out there. But that's very different from everything else we've been talking about. Whew, that does it. Look at that, right at the 1 hour mark. It's like we planned this. But thanks to everyone that was here. Thanks to Poppy for showing up for 5 minutes with his puppy out there. Thanks to everyone that made it to the chat, of course, and to everyone that just follow us in general here in this little show that we do every week. Let me see. I'm here. Dale. Thank you, Dale, our friend. He's always here. Follow Dale. Follow Page Turners. They were not. He does great breakdowns and great shows every week. Buck is adding, I was going to start Discovery Season 5 last night, but Hobie wanted to start Voyager rewatch. Still a fun way to celebrate first contact, that you can't go wrong with a little Voyager rewatch. So thank you, Dale. Thank you, Buck. Thank you, Brennan, Alan, Clipsfilm, Merleborn, everyone else that was here on the chat, watching at home, watching later. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. And as always, stay safe, be safe, and may the force be with you. Bye.